says that Eliyahu asked me a kasha yesterday. I never thought of the kasha. There's a steer in the psukim between the way Avraham Avinu speaks to Eliezer and the way Eliezer speaks to the other side. What exactly was Avraham Avinu's charge to Eliezer in terms of who was eligible to be a wife for Yitzchak? So if you read in Perek Chav Dalid, it says, Pasuk Dalid, Ki El Arti Vel Molarati Telech, to get the impression that the only restriction is I have to go back to my country. And molarity, usually molarity means my city, the city of my birth. That's all it says. And there were many, many people who were eligible, therefore, in this entire group. So that's what it says in Pasuk Dalet. However, when Eliezer is telling over the story to Lavan and Besuel, how does he say it? This is in Pasuk Lamed Ches, 34 Pesukim later. Im lo al beisa vitel echa mishpachti v'lo kachto yishol evni. Wow, it's a whole different story. It's a lie, Pashut. It's not true. The other should lie. Should lie. So I think Chaim Shem is in the Netzivah Kasha, in the Hamek Dover. And from what I quickly looked at it very quickly, what I thought he answered was that there were two issues that Avraham Avinu had with Eliezer. One was a question of chashad, that he's going to do something which is wrong, and he made him swear that he should do something wrong. And the other one was he was really wanting to go to the family, something along those lines. I think it was too quick to go to Kriyas. But the Meshech Chochma looked up, has a whole harichas about this. And I should mention usually in the footnotes in the Meshech Chochma that they tell you anything which came from before. So I got the impression, they believe it or not, that no one asked kasha that I saw until the Meshech Chochma. It's hard to believe. It's an obvious question. I never thought of it. And the first person that I saw quoted, you know, is Meshech Chochma. I looked into you and all the Rishonim and the Kuros Kedolos with all the, even the Pshat Svarim, the Chizkuni, the Radak, and zero. So I don't know, something either I'm missing something. Or else they understood that molarity means, what I suggested yesterday, that molarity means not just the city where I come from, it really means the house where I come from, the family where I come from. The Rav Meshech Chochma has them in parentheses, so the other shouldn't be considered an absolute liar. But basically, he was basically really a liar. Was he a liar? And today, people in Shidduchim, they schmalt things up. They try to exaggerate, they make things, you know, ooh. Really, Avraham Avinu only told them to go back to my country, to my city. Good enough. He wasn't. How could he expect Punk Dafka to get a Shidduch from his own family? He couldn't expect it, and therefore he didn't demand this of Eliezer. However, and Eliezer also wasn't demanding it. He didn't know it. He didn't expect it. He went to the country, and he went to the city, and this young lady Rivka passes the test. Right? She does Gemilas Chasodim. So what happens? So as soon as he does it, he right away puts his rings on her, and then he asks Bas Miat. This is Perek Pasuk Chav Beis Chav Gimel. What's he doing over here? If the only eligible people were the ones who were in the family, the first question would have been Bas Miat. The Torah says that wasn't the requirement. The requirement is only to come back to that country, not city. Fine. Has she been Bas Hudson Klotz, been Moshem Klotz? So okay, that would have been the new family of the married of his family of Avraham Avinu. Would have been fine. Once she answers Bas Besuel and Ochi, he says, hey, it's unbelievable. So in order to make the Shidduch sound better, he lied. And he said, Avraham Avinu told me to get only something only for my family. And lo and behold, I found a girl, I didn't know who she was, I flew in. He also changed that around too. He said, I asked who she was, and she said, didn't I put a ring on her finger? Not just, she shouldn't look like an uncouth, a mishugana. He shouldn't look like a liar, we nailed babe. If Avraham Avinu told him to get from the family, how did he ask that first? Because he never told him that. But he just schmaltzed it up. He's lying completely. Well, you can stick it into the word molarity. Ad kan devir helega the Meshech Chochma, the helega character of the Meshech Chochma. That's the best I could do. I look it up. Once at the Meshech Chochma, so sure enough, I think it was Chaim told me, that there's a verb on our sukkah of Mili. The Kaddish, he says, comes into over here. He says, Yitzchak Avinu made Avraham Avinu shliach to find them a wife. And Avraham Avinu made Eliezer a shliach. But according to the Kaddish, can't do this. Mila Mitzvah Shliach by Kiddushin. There's a Kakash. And the Mishnah Chacham wants to say over here. Why can't you do it? Because the girl can say no. Right. So the other saying, May Hashem Yotza Adavar. After May Hashem Yotza, Lo Nuchal, what's the expression? Hashem Yotza Adavar, this is Kadosh Baruch Hu ordained this from on high. Lo Nuchal Dabar Lecha Ra'al Tov. So we have no choice. The male is no power of me, the men's from the Shliach. That's also the Mishnah Chacham. That will not be on the Bechina. Yeah. Yes, Isa.
I remember when Yitzchak and Yaakov, they were on Yitzchak goes looking, he actually, you know, and looking. He just sent him to go to himself. I don't understand. Right, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, so long. Okay, next. I was at a bar mitzvah and at a wedding. At the wedding,
I heard the following. What's the topic? I heard it from Rabbi Luban Shlipa, Avezin of Highland Park, New Jersey. He sit next to me in the chassid like this. I think he called him the Alt of Slobodka. He said, what's this guy Ephron over here? Strange breed. He starts talking about, yeah, free, 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 free. And all of a sudden, he wants, not only is that free, he wants Abba Meir's shekel kesef. He charged him a fortune. What's going on with this guy? He said, the Alt of Slobodka said like this. Ephron, at the beginning, he really meant it. It wasn't just, we always, he's just kidding around. No? Just from the very beginning, he had his, he planned to rip him off. Playing with him, no? No. Al says, no. He really meant, when he was thinking about it rationally, he really meant to give it to free the Avraham Avinu. It was a faken, a schutz for him. A yokam asoda, it's a big schutz, a tekuma asoda, a schutz to be able to help us with the tzadik, go to Lador. That was really his intention at the beginning. So what went wrong? What went wrong was Avraham didn't want a gift. So what he did was, he took out his wallet. And he opened his wallet and he said, you know, a wad of what's the biggest bill you have? What's the biggest bill in America currently? $10,000? They have to say they have $10,000 bills? Never heard of it. Never saw it. There's a wad of $10,000 bills. She's like, no. Says Alpha, he lost it. When he saw this wad full of $10,000 bills, all of his machshavas and his altruism. And he wanted to be a tzaddik and to help out for Mavinu, and he really meant to do it. All this was completely lost the minute he saw the $10,000 bills. Zoom, just lost it. Okay, give me. He couldn't handle it. He said, give me your wallet. What do you see? So that people sometimes, although they have good intentions, and if they make decisions in the absence of any immediate. Situations, they'll make the right decisions, but some of these things come upon them and they can no longer think straight. The money just overwhelms them. They just can't do what they had intended to do. He told me a story of the Rambam. Someone told a story about the Rambam. Someone came to the Rambam and said, you know, I have a cat, and this cat is so well trained that he can actually function as a human being to some extent. What do you mean? He can be a waiter. And the cat came in there, you know, with a dressed with a tux of some kind of a, yeah, and he came in and he was carrying the food and he was carrying the drinks and train a cat. So he says, you see, you don't even a cat. So they say that Rambam said, well, give me another minute. Went out somewhere, found somewhere a mouse. And he took the mouse and he put the mouse there. The cat came in the next time carrying all his, you know, his glasses with his wine. And he sees the mouse, all of a sudden drops everything, and he gets on and runs after the mouse, like a cat does. That was just so with Ephron. But Ephron really, he really made a decision, he trained himself, he's going to give it to Ephron, he's a fine fellow, he's going to give it to him for free. The minute he saw the wad of bills, he lost it completely. He completely couldn't control himself, because he was overcome with his cheshkas hamom. So the Luban Shlita added the following to Kudah. And that's the contrast to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was a tzaddik, as everyone knows he was a tzaddik. But the real measure of a tzaddik is how he functions in times of stress. Here, Avraham Avinu Nebuch, just as coming out, he lost his wife, sorry, Menu, his beloved wife, and a person who's not matzav is, who can even think straight in such a matzav? And yet, with all this pressure on him, he's so gracious, you know, so talk so nicely to Ephron and to all the people of Necheis. That's a contrast. Avraham Avinu is not like the cat. even if he was in a put into a difficult circumstance, was going to maintain his tzidkus. Whereas Ephraim was like a cat. He really wanted to train himself to be nice to Avraham Avinu, but he saw the money, he was gone. Ad kan shamati, which at least didn't learn too much last night, but he should learn something from what I learned at the at this chasm. Oh, and one final thing I heard from one of the rebbeim was there. He said that the Brisker wrote, it says in the very famous Rashi, the beginning of Chayesara, it says, May, everyone knows, Meya Shana, the Eshim Shana, the Sheva Shana, Baskuv Kibas Ches, Baskuv Kibas Chav Chet, and Baskuv Kibas Zayin Leofi. That's what it says. So, apparently the Brisker of tied this into the famous word of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon said Pshat and Pasuk that we say in Eishes Chayim. Sheker Achein Vehevel Ayofi. Yishu Yiris Hashem. Peace is hallow. So we're tying to our next part of the Shia. So therefore, Yishu Yiris Sheker Achein Vehevel Ayofi is nothing, right? It's zero. Doesn't matter how she looks. So the Gaon, that's not Pshat. Sheker Achein Vehevel Ayofi were taken unto themselves. So just the woman has charm. Chain is charm, the Gaon says. Chain is charm means it's not an intrinsic beauty. It's a charm she puts on. Esther Yerak Rokas have it. Esther was not very pretty, Esther of the Megillah. She was yellow. But the Esther knows it's Chain Benakoa. She was very charming. You know, to be physically beautiful, she was very charming, you know. And as the Gro writes, Chain can also not only be an expression of charm, but could also be of external factors which enable a woman to look beautiful. She can put on makeup, she can put on jewelry, and she can thereby look beautiful. That even so much intrinsic beauty. That's chen. Hevel ayofi. Yofi is intrinsic beauty. That's what the Gro explains in the opening line in Eben Ezer. Opening line of Eben Ezer, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, and it's again relevant to our discussion, Chayav, I guess I don't know Shulchan Aruch here, but you can look it up. If you have it, Chayav, Adam, Lisa, Isha, Kidei Lifros, Nilirbos. A person is supposed to get married in order to be able to have children. Says the Gra, if you look at the end of Masechta Tainis, you'll see a whole discussion of the Tuba of Yom Kippur. They had this kind of a mixer that men should be women. I may not know if everyone wants. I'm speaking tonight, Lincoln Square Synagogue, 8:30. Maybe you'll find a shidduch there. I think it's worthwhile going. You never know. I'm speaking about lush and horror in times of crisis. It relates to what I spoke about. But it really means, I asked Rabbi Rosenberg, what do you mean by this? He told me that it means I should talk about what do you do when someone maligns you, someone says bad things about you, or about you, or about your people whom you respect. How do you respond to that? Or should you hit back? Should you not? That would be the topic, the real topic. So if you want to come 8:30, I said it's a sign even a bus from here. Man, take a train, probably faster. Whatever, you're welcome to come. Anyway, so the Gra says that there were three sets of women. Some said, Tnu Einechem Biyofi, Shenisha El Liyofi. And some said, Tnu Einechem Bimishpacha, Shenisha El Lebonim. And some were, they didn't have any looks, they didn't have any money. They said, listen, Khu Mikchachem L'Shem Shamayim. You should get married to Shem Shemayim. But if you want to know how am I going to look nice if I don't have the intrinsic beauty and I'm not the greatest family, no problem. Give me some good jewelry, some good makeup. That's on the Bryce in the last half of times. But the Mishnah only has the idea of Mishpacha. Says the Gra, the Bechaba Paschim is a Simon Aleph, Sif Aleph, and the Ebenezer. To get married for the sake of children, because we pass like the Mishnah against the other Tanam and the Brisa, that's the main purpose of marriage, not Leofi and not the Zehuvim. So that's what the Gros is trapped. Sheker Achein Vehevel Leofi. That Chein means the externals, so Zehuvim of jewelry and of makeup. Yofi is the intrinsic beauty, but they're both nothing really. The Yishu is the Salal, that's the Mishpacha, a nice family. And that's where you have the ability to have a good family and good children. So the Gra, incidentally, is at the bottom of the Gra, the Birchas Eliyahu, in Sifa Asamav, he says, if you heard the name of the Gra, the following. We read in Rashi a couple of weeks ago. Hine no yadati, ki ishi yafas mara ot. Very famous pasuk. Everyone very cool. Rashi quotes the Medrash and Tanchuma. But until now, he didn't realize how beautiful she was. So we used to make fun of this in first grade. In the Mechlecha. What? I went to look at his wife. What? No, he knew exactly how beautiful she was. She was the most beautiful woman. He only didn't know one thing. Was it intrinsic beauty? Or was she always, you know, spitz? You know, some guys, you know, they always dressed as like, always just, so maybe his wife, Sarah, always had the makeup on just right, and, you know, the jewelry just right. That's why she was so beautiful. But really wasn't so, intrinsically so, so beautiful. Didn't know. So now, it's the one difference. If it's intrinsic beauty, you can't turn her off. That's why you can't help it. You're beautiful, you like it, you don't like it. If it's something which is extrinsic, so you can turn it on, you can turn it off. So maybe she was turning it on for the last, I don't know how many years they were married until this point. She was always at the top of her form, always putting on. So that would be the case. Now they're going down to Mitzrayim, and she's trying not to attract anybody's attention. So it would be, what a better time to turn her off than now, right? So she tried to turn her off. Didn't help. So Avraham Avinu says, Hine noya dati, I thought until now maybe it was chayim. But now I see it, tried, it didn't work. It must be Yofi Yifasmarat. Pshat and Gro. He knew exactly how beautiful she was. He just didn't know. That's what he quotes from the Gro. Anyway, but the Gro goes further and says, that's Pshat and Pasuk. Sheker Achein by itself. Hevel Yofi by itself. Isha Yiris Hashem, he's Tishala. Not only in the Yiris Hashem. Tishala Bechein Yofi. Once she has Yiris Shemaim. So then we speak, oh, she's Yiris Shemaim and she also is beautiful. She also has charm. She's also, these are tremendous milas. But they're only milus when they come together with Yerushalayim. Once it's Yerushalayim, then the Chayin and the Ofi are also considered to be milus. So this Rebbe was telling me that he once told the story of the Chafetz Chaim and his son-in-law were discussing a shidduch about a certain some member of the family, some kind of shidduch. So they said it's a woman that brought us mitzvahs to us and Yerushalayim and all this stuff. And the son-in-law apparently chimed into the conversation. Yes, he said. And I heard that there's also a significant amount of sheker and hevel in the family. What? But he was trying to say was, it must be beautiful. But, you know, they didn't want us to didn't pass for a Lithuanian Rosh Hashiva to talk about it. Well, it would be beautiful. So he used the anyway, on both sides, as we will discuss in our upcoming words, a man cannot get married without the sheker in the hell. You can't get married, Rav Osa, without the madrega. They say something about Baruch Ber. She was coming, that someone wanted to get married to a woman, and he didn't want to. So he said, what's the matter? What can I do, Rebbe? From where I come from, she just doesn't have the looks that I'm looking for. She just doesn't have the looks. So the Baruch Ber alleged to have answered, I don't understand you. What is this? The mitzvah of Esrig? Has to be hotter. What? That's what he said. So we don't hold that way. Or the vice. But as we will discuss, I'm not talking about it now. The Gemara is an expression. Benos Yisrael Yafasim. Benos Yisrael Yafasim. That means that Jewish women are beautiful. What that means is, Rabbi Osai, that there could be an exception. Right? No, there are exceptions, okay. Some people are just completely repelled by certain physical features that a woman has, and if they're repelled, that's it, she'll run away. But, you know, we can even think of certain objective characteristics that repel many of us. Because why? Because we're Americans, you know. I'd say a woman is very big, let's say. So today in America, that's not considered to be good looking. I was told that in Europe, it was fakert, based on the Gemaras even, the bigger the better. Because the bigger you were, the longer survival rate you had. Because they was all starving to death, and there was all malnutrition. And this woman was a balas bosa there. It was considered them to be pretty, to have a double chin, and they had talked about the Gemara Shabbos, also about how they used to put things on the neck to look fatter. Just imagine all the anorexic women today, and they're trying to look fat. That's crazy. Today they're a crazy women who try to look like a boar, you know, or just a woman who throw up, You know, this whole business is a sakana to pashas. So it's all beauty in the eye of the beholder. So to give it our beholding eyes, we sometimes have things we look down upon. Remember, Rabosai, we are not governed by Hollywood. Hollywood should not dictate, Rachmana Litzlan, what we're looking for. Okay? So, but after having said that, there could be certain people just somehow, a woman is very, very big, that they just can't handle it. Okay? They can't handle it. Maybe there's some other part of her facial features that just to them are just so repulsive to them. Whatever it may be, look, we're only human. We're only Bosa V'dam. But when it says, but also Yafa saying to me that the average, look, Rabbi Say, anybody look around the room, everyone here is going to be on the front page of some model magazine. We don't grow those kind of guys in our shia. Everyone looks like, everyone looks, everyone, but everyone looks ugly in the shia, chas v'shal. No one looks ugly. The negative is really off your name. The average yeshiva bacha, it looks fine, nothing wrong. So too, but knows you throw your office saying that they look okay, and they shouldn't have this crazy, you know, requirement that people have, or it has to be that's crazy. And I'll tell you from experience, ultimately it often and usually doesn't work. I'll say, oh, never. But I remember I once had a young man in yeshiva who said him a favor. At the end of the day, many years later, he got married somewhat late, and everyone's expecting, you know, when he finally, like every other Bas Yisrael, Yafahi, but it was not nothing from Hollywood, so which is good. So this person shouldn't have these crazy expectations and fantasies. It's meshuga and it's counterproductive. Sheker achein rebel Yafah. All right, you'll find the Yiras Hashem, and she happens to have achein and Yafah. It's gavaldik, but that shouldn't be the number one quest. Okay. Let us now turn our attention to the issue at hand, which is the Parsha of Shiduchim. The Parsha of Shiduchim is such an important Parsha that the Torah sees fit to say it v'arichas and to repeat it. If you imagine this, I say a chazar shir. But the Rebbe doesn't give a chazar shir. He gives you the Torah once, and that's it. Chazal says, Yofa sichos shalav de'ovas mitaros shalbonim. If halacha is derived from a vov, from a yud, from a this, from a word, from a pasuk, and they have it repeated over again, twice, because we're talking here not about halachas, we're talking about hashkafas. And hashkafas are critically important. The Drosh of Saran writes, why is it that Avraham Avinu was so insistent that Eliezer go back to his hometown? What was wrong with Benos HaKanani? Halolov Devodazara, Valolov Devodazara. You know that mantra from Chazal in the Medrash by Kriyas Yamsuk here too? So Devodazara in Kanan, so Devodazara in Aram Naharayim and in Al-Kazdim, what is the whole world of Avodah Zarah? What's going on? Answer the Rana, he's so good of a nerve. He says, deus, theology, can be more easily learned and unlearned, programmed and reprogrammed. You can take a person who believed in Rachman al-San and Yoshke, and thought that Yoshke was somehow some kind of a divinity, and we think that this makes no sense. This doesn't make any sense. What kind of business? Yoshke with Maisel, well, it's ridiculous. What is absurd on its face? Immaculate conception. Well, Hakstat Shainik and Marishkeit, Stuyus. So we can convince the guy and say this doesn't make any sense and prove it to me. I can prove to you, as the Kuzri did. The Kuzri arguing with this Christian guy, I can prove to you that our religion is right and our Torah is right. How do you prove it? Because we have a Mesorah. That there were a million people, who knows, millions of people at Mars Har Sinai, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu appeared to all of them and told them, Anochi lo yilcha. What do you have to prove? Well, two guys saw Yashka walk on water. That's why I answer. Seven million guys saw Yashka walk on water. That would be a kunst. They'd have to see what kind of long legs he had there, during kind of magic trick he pulled. But the two Shikarim saw him walk on water, that's going to prove something. Proves nothing. Maybe we fibbed it. That's cool, you're right. Maybe we fibbed it, the Rambam. Maybe we fibbed it that this million people said you can't fib such a thing, because how do you come out of nowhere? And I'll proof. If you can fib it, how come you guys didn't fib it? How come you didn't say a million guys saw Yashka walk on water or saw Muhammad go up to heaven, or as they say? Because you can't. That's the part of a Mesorah. So we have the Mesorah. So you can convince a guy who believed in Yashka and Muhammad that he's wrong, we're right. Make an intellectual proof. Convince the belief that someone is a god in the world. That the Rambam writes, it's impossible to have a world without a god. It's fine, intellectually, philosophically, you can convince people of different things. Fine. But what's much more difficult to learn and to unlearn is midas, is character traits. And Avraham Avinu felt that the character traits amongst the Knanim were much more mushkosim, or much more terrible than they were in his home country. In his home country, they weren't the world's greatest tzaddikim. Not everyone was the greatest tzaddik, but the average person, in Aram Naraim was apparently more decent. Not necessarily that the family itself was more decent. Laban and Bethuel were very far from moral paragons of virtue. Laban, we know, is known as the Arami, the crook. And Bethuel, according to Chazal, was not a very righteous man. Now, Bethuel just died here all of a sudden in the middle. You know, Bethuel just poisoned the house. Try to poison Eliezer, get the money, and then it was an elephant. Why is he poisoned? It says in Svarim. Bethuel, his name was not given to him just as Zayavik, by coincidence. Bethuel means, this is the first recorded, well, no, it's not the first. We have it already in Rashi. Rashi has in the very beginning, and Parshas Bereishis. Unbelievable how immorality went back to such a low, so far back in history. Mamish, back to the very beginning, to the, the very beginnings of time is before the Dor HaMabul. Before the Dor HaMabul. What was the immorality before the Dor HaMabul? So Rashi says, Vayiru b'nei Elokim es b'nos adam ki tovo seina. So Rashi quotes from Chazal, Tovas ksiv, metivin, shayim metivin also mekushetes likones l'chupa, hayagodol nichnasu bo'a l'tchila. This is known as the rite of the first night. You ever hear about this? A rite. Unbelievable. Crazy. We have the Gemara Ksubas, Tibor like Matchilas. This is a story about the Goyim for generations. It started before the Dor HaMabul and went straight to the time of the Gemara. Till they ploy it, that's thousands of years. Immorality of the same nature, terrible. So it says in Svarim that that was Besuo special. He was the quote Godel. Would make the Gedolim cards. This is Godel means the Godel like the President of the United States. Yeah, the Heimtig of Godel. Oyva voy as I'm in Godel. Yeah. Not that every president before him was such a big tzaddik. I mean, that story came out by John F. Kennedy, who was, when I was growing up, as a bar mitzvah, John F. Kennedy was considered cool. Yeah. We find out that John F. Kennedy was, he was in the tradition of pre-Dor HaMabul. Okay? So Besula, Ms. Meloshim Besula, that was his habit as well. And now his daughter's getting married, what's with my... He had to bump them off. So it's not as if that the every single person that the particular family of Avraham Avinu was happened to be so great. But the average person walking the streets of Rav Narayim was more moral than the average person of Canaan. Kamasa Eretz Canaan Sheshavtan Bo Losasa. Apparently, kind of a long tradition of all kinds of terrible things. If you look at Rashi and that pasuk, it talks about Kamasa Eretz Canaan Sheshavtan Bo Losasa. And post Parshas Achrei Mos, the Rashi makes the following comment: Perek Yudches, Pasuk Gimel. No, take that back. I don't see Rashi again. So other Parshas. Oh, I'm sorry. Right here. Magid Shemaseim Shemitraim Shel Kananim Mekukolim Mikol Haumos. They were worse than anybody else. Everyone else wasn't so great either, but they were worse than other people. Some of you want no part of it. They're both saying, we live in a generation which has seen kilkulim beyond belief. I mean, you're not as old as I am, so you can't have a perspective. But when I'll just give you a mushroom. When I moved to Queens, I used to live in Brooklyn, so it wasn't so easy. It was different apartments. But when I moved to Queens, it was in 1958. Okay? So, we lived in a block. Black had Yidden, it had Goyim, a mixed Kibbutz, it was a mixed block, and all kinds of. But you saw intact families. You saw what we'll call "quote unquote" clean living. You know, to the best of what we saw. What's going on? what do I know? I was a kid. But that's what we saw. Families, there was a father, there was a mother, there were children, there was that's how it was. That's how the block looked. That's how it was. That's how the world was then. And there were those, the famous 50s of Ozzy and Harriet and Father Knows Best. Yeah, it's not a joke. That was how the society was in those years. I'm not saying there was no averus going on. Of course there were averus going on. But publicly, there was a sense of morality. We've lost it. In the last 40 years, our Baruch Shana Oklet Bedor. In the last 40 years, we've gone down to the point, from the point where, in those years, there was almost no divorce. It didn't exist. Remember, I used to go to the Young Israel of Kew Garden Hills, around the corner from my house. So they used to say, there was one family that they said, the shul, you know, they've been at shul. Huge, how many hundreds of people there? Hushed tones, there was one family that was a divorce. Now it's ain't bias, it's ain't shemace. There's a broken home in every family. It's crazy. That's only the beginning of it. Now we live in a... I'll speak anecdotally. My wife told me that, she told me the story yesterday. Someone came into an office where she works and said, showing pictures. You know, like an older woman showing pictures, no? You know, my grandson, children look so nice. I used to do pictures, you know, that famous line. People do. Boasting about how nice her grandchild looks. And then in describing to my wife what she's saying, it's a nice Jewish woman. She's saying that this is my daughter, and something about the daughter and her partner. So my wife is saying, say anything to her, she'll find out later on. Yeah, partner. That means that's this. The Nashim Misolalo Zubazu. That's part of Ma'aseh Eretz Kanaan. What's called today lesbians. And of course, this is something which is now, if Rahman al-Tan, you knew someone who's never, whose daughter that way, so you say, here's my grandchild, if I confront you, and where's the husband? So maybe you'll say nothing. Well, he wasn't there that day. You'll be stuck back to the wall. You have to say where it came from. No, up front. This is my daughter, and this is a partner. We've lost all our shame. And don't think, well, this only exists in the non-frum world. Because whenever it starts with the goyim, it goes to the non-frum Jews, and then take it on with the passion, and they become at the forefront of the gay and lesbian rights. Forefront, mamish, the forefront of all these crazinesses, which is the total immorality. It's like Ma'aseh Eretz Kanaan, which he was trying so much to avoid. And then it speaks into Rahman al-Islam. Rahman al-Islam, forgive me for saying something that whatever. It filters its way in, even to a quote-unquote Torah society. All these mishigasim, I'm not discussing the general issue that we have of the also Rahman al-Islam, of the general znus that goes on in the world, which the whole climate has changed, and znus is now, used to be looked down upon. And in the 50s, the person was mezana, something which he hid. And now it's something which is a person who's almost proud of, the znus that's going on, that's also gotten in somehow, chalila, into the society, even which people who are otherwise observant, Rahman al-Islam. But even these mishigasim have gotten into this community. And I'm speaking from knowledge. I'm not speaking from speculation. Now you'll say, but there were always people in the closet. Yeah, but people in the closet have to understand if the climate in the city in which we live, if this is a Maisa Behema, this is a Toyeva, so then there can be a Mishugana who has these acts out and does these terrible things. They always existed. We all know it existed. It could have started in the time of according to some of Noach already. It goes back to a long time in our history. One Pshana Rashi by Chum. Alright. But it was something which to look down upon. And if it was down upon, so it's much more difficult to perpetrate in a society, especially if a person was trying to mask as a Ben Torah, as an Orthodox Jew. Once it becomes something which is in a society at large acceptable, and you can't look down upon it, and you're guilty of bashing Rachman al Shana, that's one of the Aseret HaDibros. Thou shalt not bash, right? You can't criticize people, and after all, can lead to murder. Because some guy just was convicted on the radio today. He's convicted for murdering some gay guy. I don't know. I'm very careful. Don't murder him. Don't misunderstand my words. I don't want to be considered of incitement to violence. Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom. Chalila v'chas. It's not our job to do this. Either chayav schila, it's the Rabbanu Shalom's job. We don't give schila with the chilul Shabbos. You don't murder the guy driving a car on Shabbos. You don't murder this guy either. Chas v'chalila. We don't never use violence. It's chas v'shalom. But it's despicable. It's a toeva, and we have to look at it as such. And we shouldn't be apologetic. We should, you can get up and say, you people are out of your minds. You're destroying the fabric of society completely, totally. That's crazy. I was told on the front page of one of the Newsweekly, either the Time or Newsweek. This week. I don't get either of them. I stopped because I couldn't handle some of those graphics that they started putting on. I'm down to U.S. News, which I usually can handle. Last 2 weeks, a few weeks, I ripped off the front cover. But I have to know something's going on in the world. Anyway, so I was told that with Thomas as a whole, you know, not the millennium, the predictions, they're saying in the year 2025. That's not so far from now. 2025 years, that's it. By that time, there'll be all kinds of talk of how it's going to be appropriation, it'll be completely separated from Ishvishta. There'll be all kinds of games with this try and insemination and cloning and IVF. So that means that people can live, you know, whatever kind of lifestyle they want. That's one thing. And then I said, so I heard, I said, that's what goes on. So goes back in history. Lena, Oda Vitzila. He had one wife we had fun with, and one wife so he had children with. So instead of having, so they're having children now with technology, the internet, I don't know what they're going to do with it. And then you have fun with your body, anyway you want to be pleased. Rachman al Islam. It's the undermining of the entire society. Hashem Yerachim. You have to be very careful. And when it comes to these midas mishchosus, and the impact, yes, on our communities, and yes, Rabbanim are dealing with the fallout of this encroachment on our turf, but all these nivulim, and they're dealing with it, and Rabbanim are dealing with it, and if you're looking for a growth industry, if you're looking for a field to go into mental health, psychology, psychiatry, because they're grown people who I know are dealing with this, and they're drowning with all these crazinesses. You name it, it hits our community. I'm talking about Orthodox Jews from Orthodox synagogues with Orthodox rabbis. And you know, and this craziness exists much more than in previous years, because it became acceptable. You know? To give another mashal, they're talking about shofech dam adam v'adam dam yishofech. We read about so Chazal refers to abortions. So abortions, again, 40 years ago were illegal. So they talk about all these craziness how they used to get the back alley abortions, and they'd go to Cuba to get an abortion, or to Nevada to get an abortion in those years. Right? Whatever it was. So you say, what's it with me? We have our halacha. What do you care what's illegal, illegal? No! It's a tremendous difference. Because something which is illegal, so a respectable person says, this is illegal, I'm not going to get involved in it, as a deterrent. Once it became legal, even B'nai Torah, even people who went to yeshivas, so they get in situations. I had a case of someone who called me up once. He wanted to do his wife have an abortion. So I got panicky. I thought, oh, it must be something with Pesachs, or maybe it's Chalila Down syndrome, or people, because some people can't handle these things. But the post will talk about it, the hind and the hair. No. So what is it? Well, this baby is an accident. I mean, that the baby was conceived, they didn't expect the baby to happen. I want to tell you, there are many, many babies that are accidents. That the parents, they didn't expect the baby to happen. And then they said, look, we didn't want a child. Now we don't want any more children at all. Kodesh Baruch Hu was smart and all of us put together. And these are intelligent people with graduate degrees. They're not stupid. But the Rabbanu Shem is smart and all of them. Because he raised our own that the unexpected child is there. So what do you do? Grin and bear it. So you should be happy about it. Yeah. So this woman was not happy about it. She already had in her mind she's only going to have two children. And now as a third, she's pregnant with a third child. She wasn't even that old. And nothing. I said, is it a matter of money? No. just doesn't want to have a third child. I had no sprach, but I don't know, I don't ever met her. I knew the man I knew very well from way back. So I said to myself, why is he calling? What's the habermin over here? The habermin is, it's mutlan society at large. It's hishchis go bosses, dark all over. Everything goes, as this goes, and abortion goes, and everything goes. An interesting story, the happy ending to the story is that I tried to get a rabbi to speak to her, that didn't work. A rabbi to speak to her, that didn't work. The one who saved the day was some kind of a non-Jewish person, or I think it was a doctor, or if I'm not mistaken, it was African-American doctor who was coming from here. He said, what are you doing over here? What are you doing? It's unethical. So for the day, not the person that the woman listened to, not to the Rabbonim, and not to the Rebbetzins, but to that. Whatever it is, I'm just giving you a marshal, how society has deteriorated so much, we have no longer a moral compass. You don't know, we're just drifting. And therefore we, the Nei Torah, have to say out loud and up front, without embarrassment or apology, that our system, the Torah system, is the only ethical and moral system. We have rules, and we are bound by the Kodesh Baruch Hu's commandments. That's it. Otherwise, you have what we call today comparative ethics, situational ethics, relative ethics, which means Gilui Arayos, the Shvichas Damim, and every divorce of all. Okay, that's just to begin. Now I understand why Avraham Avinu wanted a wife not from such a society of America. Canaan, but rather he wanted a woman from the society which was a greater moral compass. And I want to tell you another thing. I shouldn't come down to live in America. America is much better than Europe. You know why? America, most people believe in God. In Europe, it's not that way. America is still in God we trust. And don't make fun. No, I'm serious. America still has that Christian ethic, which, you know, we know what Christians did to us over the years. They murdered us. But Alpha PK, there was some kind of a Christian ethic of, you know, of believing in God and of doing what's right. And that has some kind of influence on the American society. Obviously not that strong, but something. In Europe, it's much worse. And the sad thing is, I told you before how, unfortunately, we say that people who leave Torah don't even follow them, but to call them Shabbat Chazal. So they follow them, but call them Shabbat. I think it's in the Jewish Week or Jerusalem Post. It's one of those things I get at my house, where it's asked, how important is the Bible in your everyday life? The stats in America, I think, were about 60-something%. I may be forgetting. So the Bible plays an important role every day. And among Jews, all Jews, it was 30-something%. Typical Kolon Shabbat. We're not even on the level of the average Goy, an American Goy. We're avant-garde. We follow the European Goy, who already lost God a while ago. So that's it. So don't get mad to go from Europe, get mad to go from America. I'm just joking. That's all before we had a Torah society. That's get mad to go from a Torah society, and that's all. What about a balas tshuva? A balas tshuva comes from a home that sometimes has these crazy things going on. So this is a very big, important judgment call that has to be made. Obviously, it can cause a certain problem in certain cases. But at the same time, there are many wonderful shidduchim between, we'll call it a bala, balas tshuva, and what they call today an FFB. Know what that means? Okay. So you can't chas v'shalom say that this is it's a non-starter. It's something which because today many of the Bali and Balos Tshuva were trained in yeshivas even from the earlier education just to get away from the public school. Even the people who weren't so firm, they realized the public school was such a disaster. You could get killed in public school. We had drugs in public school, or worse. Huh? So that's a different kind of an upbringing, even though the parents weren't from. But I found, again in my experience, that most Baalei Tshuva, my shul, there are quite a number of Baalei Tshuva, quite a number, a very significant number. Most of them, and I've met some of the parents at Simchas, you know, there's a bris, there's a this, there's a wedding, you know, most of them come from the kind of homes of which our Rav Avinu would be proud. Moral and ethical homes. And the child being brought up in a moral and ethical background is looking for something more and finds the secular upbringing wanting and therefore somehow is drawn to Torah mitzvahs. People who are brought up in these menuvolim dikah homes, Rachmana Litzlan, with the partners or with the all other craziness that are going on, or the acceptance of these values, you know, as lechatchilas, is something which you usually will not find these Baalei Tshuva. Yeah, you'll find parents who accept this into the end. How can I disown my child if he or she is a fill in the blank murderer, rapist, gay, lesbian, pedophile? You just fill it in the blank. How can I disown my own child? That's a different story. No. I'll tell you that Shtukhilim Koma, the parents have this crazy protectiveness even in all situations, and they have to identify. I'm talking about the Chatchilas. People of the Chatchila accept all these things and they think it's a great idea. You won't find too many, my experience, I didn't find too many Baalei Tshuva come from these kinds of homes. The Mela, it certainly has to be taken as a possibility. Let's go now to what are the major criteria that a person has to search for in a Shidduch. Halacha l'maaseh, Rav Asi. I come to the l'maaseh that's a part of the Shia. So at first glance, the answer is obvious. Everyone goes back to the story of Eliezer and Rivka. What is the test? What is the test? The test is the Midah of Chesed. What? The Kitzur, in one pasuk. One pasuk Yudalit. V'yoan ha-rosh ha-romai l'hachino chadech v'ashteh. V'yom rosh ha-seh v'gam gal-malecha ha-ashkeh. O'soh ha-chachla v'chol Yitzchok. Right. I'll ask it for myself to drink. I shall even go as far as to give to the camels to drink. That proves that she's a proper shidduch. Why? Ruyahaya lo shtegomelas chasadim ukedai likadas v'feisa shalavram. So writes Rashi. So therefore, the simple interpretation is the one and only midah that's primary among all other midahs for shidduchim is the midah of chesed, and it's absolutely true. Why is it so important? Look, there's so many different milas in the world. Why is it so important to look for chesed? The answer is, I'm looking for a mila. I'll find this mila, that mila. No, on both sides. Chesed is the essence of marriage. The essence of marriage, of Torah marriage, of the proper Jewish marriage, is gemilas chasadin. What do I mean by that? So when a person gets married, he and she are given the lifetime opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of gemilas chasadin with the spouse. That means, as Rav Desta writes in the Sefer Michta Melio, the essence of Torah marriage is giving. Giving to another person. That's the essence of what a Torah marriage is about. When a person is still single, sure you can find opportunities for chesed. You can help out someone who needs you as a chavrusa, someone maybe doesn't know, doesn't know how to learn so well. You can help out in the community, you can help out a family. There's room for chesed all over the place. But there can be times when it's a lull. Once a person marries, it's an absolutely lifetime opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of gemilus chasadim towards the wife, towards the husband. This is the very essence of marriage. That's the rights, lest you say, if I'm busy giving, so then, hey, there's nothing in it for me. Nothing in it for me. So the answer is, as we've explained in the past, that the key to happiness is giving, not taking. That's the difference in America and Torah. America thinks the key to happiness is taking. You know, what's in it for me? Gratification, monetary gratification, physical gratification, power power gratification. You know, just shahululul. That's how America looks at the world. And however you get there. And if you're in a situation where now you're getting nothing, it's a loser situation, you ditch it, cut your losses, you have business, you're making money, the one branch is somehow losing, so you unload it, you spin it off. And someone else, unfortunately, that's how America views marriage. Take Donald Trump, Lamont. Donald Trump, We live in New York City. It's a good notion. Trump Towers, and Trump, multi-billionaire Trump. So what did he do? I don't know. I haven't been following him recently. But for little I know, Trump was married, very nice, 100%. I think it was his wife and children. What happened? She was no longer as beautiful as she was. She got older. Hey, P.S., he also got older. But doesn't matter. He dumped her and found some younger version. That's how I remember the picture. He found a younger version of his first wife. I think he dumped that one too now, huh? Is it turban yet? Maybe he's playing the market. I don't know exactly what he's doing there. Whatever it may be. But this is what it is in America. He has a part of his business that doesn't work, so you dump the business. You have a wife that's not as beautiful, so you dump the wife. That's so simple. Because if marriage is to take, so you're not taking, so then you forget about the whole thing. That's why there's so much divorce in America today. Rather, for us, we say that the essence of marriage is giving, is gemilus chasadim. That's why it's critical that the particular midah to look for in a shidduch is gemilus chasadim. How do we know that gemilus chasadim is the ultimate happiness? So I often quote a Rambam, and of all places, Hilchos Megillah. Of all places, Hilchos Megillah. Yeah, believe it or not, that's the source I like to quote as evidence, as proof that the ultimate simcha is helping someone else. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Megillah, end of Perek Beis, as follows. He's talking about Shalach Monos and Matanos Avyonim. Make sure to give more Matanos Avyonim. Why? She'ein sham simcha gedola mufu'ara. There's no greater and splendid happiness. El sameach le'vaniyim v'yusamon v'almonos v'gerim. Tell people who need your help. Sham sameach le'vam lolam v'elu. Doma l'shchina, you like Hashem. Shenemar, this is a pasuk in Yeshaya. Some of us say it on Shabbos. I think it's an Haftorah for Yom Kippur. L'achios ruach shvolim, u'l'achios leiv d'tkoyim. To revive the spirit of the lowly, and the heart of the downtrodden. What does that mean? I've explained to you already that physical simcha is limited. Yeah, we have any simcha of a bosu v'yayin. How much can you have? How much can you have? You know, you go to the steakhouse, all you can eat. How can I give you all you can eat? They know it's a limit. You have to watch this. They can only afford to you know, $20 all you can eat because they know there's a limit how much steak you can eat. After a while, and if you're drinking wine after a while, you're on the pavement. So I mean, there's a limit. So that's a limited simcha. When it comes to spiritual simcha of giving, not of taking, it's unlimited. Why? Because it's Doma L'Shechina. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate source of simcha, Oz B'Ched V'Komo, helps other people out. That's the reason the world was created. Derech HaTov L'Heitiv. And it's doing chasana for everybody. And it's reviving the spirit of the downtrodden and the lonely. And we can be Doma L'Shechina because we have a chelek of a kamimah on our neshama. And our neshama, which is the teeniest, weeniest fraction of the Kodesh Baruch Hu Kevayochol, as the Zohar says, the Chelek, the Kami Mal. So the smallest fraction of the infinite is infinite. So our nefesh lo timar, we read in Kohelis. The soul can never be satiated. So you can never tire of the simcha of giving. That's what it says before in the Rambam. In Ilchos Megillah, Perek Beis Aloch Yud Zayin. This applies to marriage. We say this, the marriage of Shabbara Sosim the Simcha. What do you mean, Hashem Baruch Hu made Simcha? Kodesh Baruch Hu made Simcha, unlimited Simcha in marriage. How? You don't have to wait for the Aniyim, Yisomim, and Almonis, and Gerim. You can do it, you can help out in your own house. We don't only help out there, the people who they help out of their house. They come with their tigers, they're crazy, they beat their wives. Mishugah, yeah! Wife being another Mishugah that came out of the outside world. We spoke about this last time, about Kama, Barichus. A behema, worse than a behema. But it exists even in the quote-unquote otherwise Torah society. Just happened now. No, it was in the newspapers. Rahman al-Atman, a quote-unquote from guy, killed his wife. A rabbi somewhere in Long Island was vouching for him to get out of jail. Minutes in the papers. Shem Yerachem. Yeah. Very hard. I want to say craziness. So we have to emphasize this idea of helping, giving to others. And as they say, charity begins at home. Gemilas chasadim begins at home. Before you worry about the the umlalim and the almanas. What about your own house? They say the story. I heard the story. Was told about a grandson of the Chofetz Chaim, big Talmud Chacham now, the Rashi Eretz Yisrael, who was learning in yeshiva in Lakewood. Must go back, I don't know, 40 years in Lakewood, and he wasn't coming to shul in the morning. Grandson of the Chofetz Chaim not coming to shul in the morning. So the Mashgiach told him, "Hey, what's going on? Where are you?" So he said sheepishly, "Well, in a situation, a woman has little children, she's overwhelmed, she can't get them out, to catch the school bus, and then to help in preparing them, and dressing them, and feeding them." Ooh, the Mashgiach said, "Wow, what if some woman like this? I mean, there's an Efshev and Almana, or something like Grusha. Well, where is this? Maybe I want to go help. I want to be also in the Mishkan of the Big Mitzvah. Who is this woman?" He said to Mashgiach, My wife. His wife can't handle it. A house full of children. She can't get him out of the school on time. And so he has to help her out. He can't catch them in the yeshiva. Maybe he's having a shtibul son. Maybe he's having a home. I guess maybe. He's trying to point out that Gemilah stuff begins at home. You have to help out in your own house. The people in this room are Baruch Hashem Bezoicha to have a child. You know what that means? You don't sleep at night sometimes. Okay, wifey, you get up. That's not right. That's not right at all. To the contrary, I mean, you have to get up and the next day a little bleary eyed, you fall asleep during Shia. Meichel! For that excuse, not some guy's hacking on the surf on the internet. But someone wakes up and to feed a baby, change a baby or something. Meridik is the greatest chesed. That's the chesed that's built in into the marriage system. This is very important. This is why I'm a fierce opponent of what's called today, forgive the expression, family planning at the very beginning of the marriage. Couples getting married before they even married. I was at this bar mitzvah yesterday. So a rabbi calls me over and says, "I have to talk to you." Why? A couple's getting married and she doesn't want to have children now. Why not? Well, she's just going to want to go to graduate school. She has this. I mean, this is a good reason. I mean, not some lahakas. I said, I've never given such a hand to it. Says in the Torah, in the Shulchan Aruch, Chai about at least the children's going to. And unless it's a health consideration, Chamon of the son, she's sick. Other than that, I always tell her, I mean, across the Kala, well, what are you doing over here? This is part of the essence of marriage, is going to be this chasadim for a wife, for a husband, for a child. That's the whole marriage is based upon that. So to go and start off on the left foot and try to avoid having children before you even start, that to me is terrible. That's my personal view. I think it's based on halacha. Aside from the idea of mitzvah b'adot chalatach mitzena, and aside from the idea that who said you're such a big knacker, you're so sure you're going to have a child right away. I remember someone came to me, Gvald, he has another child, this, he wants to do contraception. I said, no, that's not. It turned out, he came to me a few years later, his wife can't have a child. And I'd have to go for care at the fertility specialist, you know. Who used to be Kanaka? And I can tell you a story of the people who are going crazy to have a child. You're going to start off like this. I think it's very wrong. I think it's extremely wrong. It's a wrong, wrong-headed attitude. I had graduate school, I had his money. So the rabbi asked me last night, what do you mean? Why do you have to have a child? We know that the mitzvah say, and I'm going to spend more than one-fifth of your money. So I looked at him, I said, I would venture to guess, I think this guy himself has 10 kids, I don't know, he has a big family. I would venture to guess he spent more than one-fifth of your money on your children. There's obviously an exception to the rule, kind of one-fifth of your money, they'll never have any child. They're crazy. Children suck up money this is what money is for! This is what it's for! It's not the one from this after you spend on your wife and kids. Are you kidding? That's ridiculous. That's meshuggah. No? That's what I once heard. It says, once in Ksubis, Oset Stoka B'choleis. What's Oset Stoka B'choleis? Zeh mefanos ha-mefarenes ishto bonav ha-gdolim. If a person supports his children over the age of 6, says the Gemara. I got a job, 6. All right, so 6 now is no longer 6, it's inflation. So we'll call it, I don't know, whatever the square of 6 is nowadays. So after he's still been fasting, so it's considered stalker because you don't have to be able to support a child. After the child, I don't know, let's say 21. let's say for throw out a number. 21. That's we brought to the yeshiva today. 21. And 21, the Bachar wants to sit and learn in the yeshiva, wants to get mad learning in the kollel, and I hold out that I still can support him, and then also talk about b'chaleis, supporting your own family. So I say from the Bala Darshana would say, you come to someone and if it's stuck, I'm sorry, I'm supporting my family, I can't. I'm also talking about b'chaleis. They say, it says in the Torah, Al yovo b'chaleis ala kodesh. Don't go with your b'chaleis, you support your own family, if there's six, and then I'm going to come into the kodesh. You have to give tzedakah beyond. That's what the 1/5 is. You do it in your own family. Could be that the truth is that that can't make count towards my success of a chaimish if you're beyond a certain age and you're supporting a child. That's neither here nor there. I'm trying to get back to the issue at hand. We have the idea of chesed as being the ultimate simcha. And the truth is, as the Mefarshim say, they talk about love. And the magic is like falling in love. What a low phrase, to fall in love. No? Where'd that come from? I asked people what the guy was saying. Sapphire, he writes to the New York Times. Where'd the comment spread it? Fall in love. Fall? No? What does it say over here? Like falling in love. Falling is considered a very lowly state. A person falls. How's the last word in the phrase, parasha? Al panei kol echav nafal. Nafal. Right? Here it says Nafal, then it says Yishkon. Before that, from died, it was Yishkon, now it's Nafal. That means falling in love. It's a Hollywood expression. Falling means you fall. You fall from the pinnacle of intelligence that you were created with, of Adam, and you fall like a behemoth. So we spoke about at the beginning of the Shia. The cat. Take a guy, he accepts upon himself like Ephraim. I'm not going to be Mizana, I'm not going to be involved with women, I know it's bad, it causes all kinds of problems. And he sees this gorgeous girl, and he just, like a cat, he forgets everything. And he goes with her, and he drinks with her, and he sleeps with her, and what happened? Like a cat! No fault! Fell in love! Come on, a little slap. We have to understand that the word falling is for us a bit. We have to rise to love. That's fall in love. How do you rise? You rise by understanding the midst of Gemilas Chasadim. Gemilas Chasadim means the Ika Yisod. You see a woman, what do they call today? Midas Tovus. That she's a kind woman. She's a good woman. She wants to help people. She wants to be involved in helping her in the family and helping Klal Yisrael and raising a family. This is what she dreams about. This is what she's thinking about. It doesn't matter what she's doing. What her resume looks like. Oh, she has a PhD, an MD, a JD, a ISD, she's OTPT, ST, AT, all the other. These are all, I guess, to some extent important. But more important than any of these things is where's she at? What's her machshava like? Is she career obsessed? It's not so poshut. So now is career obsessed, whatever the career is, it's not poshut. That's why. You marry, if you're just thinking of marrying a doctor or a lawyer, so you have to watch out, because some of them are so concerned with their careers at the expense of the family. There are very notable exceptions. Baruch Hashem, I'm a big fan, quote unquote, of some of these notable exceptions of women who have three children while going to medical school. But it can be done. There's this question to the country, notwithstanding last night, that it can't be done. It can't be done. Whatever, if you want to grad school, you're not going to med school, you're doing that. It can be done. All right, it costs you more than dollars, get them a babysitter, you have to work a little bit hard. It can be done. And if it can't be done, so a family, the chora comes first. All right? You shouldn't think I'm such a hard liner about it. I'll give you the other half of my position with families. I believe that if a couple's been blessed with a child, Baruch Hashem, so now they know that Baruch Hashem b'derech hateva, they're able to have children, Baruch Hashem, and now the woman has a child, she may be a little more tired, whether it be physically or emotionally, and she wants to, what we call today's language, space the children to have postponed having a second child, then I think there's a lot of grounds that we can talk about it. It's not so simple, it's not so how and what and where, but that, there I suddenly convert into a liberal. And although it's only a semi-liberal, my vote, my psak in these cases is almost always the same. It depends what the woman wants. Because I have cases where the man wants another child and the woman says no, or pakeret. Both cases exist. And then, I always say the woman wins, because she's the one that has to carry the child, take care of the child ultimately. So whatever she wants. I mean, up to a point. She said, okay, I had a child, I'm going to wait 10 years for the next one. That's ridiculous. I mean, I never have to shout ever. I don't know what is interesting. I was just space. But some women need whatever the whatever period of time. I think that's the that's legitimate. Now everyone agrees with me. They'll say, well, you have to have a boy and a girl, and you have to... Blah, 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 blah. But I'm a liberal, quote-unquote. But at the beginning of the marriage, I'm the Ayatollah. I'm an arch-conservative, a fundamentalist. Because it was a whole marriage. I told this rabbi yesterday a story. A story I tell Chosman Kala when they come to speak to me. I had a mice about 15 years ago where someone came to me, wanted me to meet with his Kala. I hardly knew him. Mr. Kala never met before. So they want to speak to me, fine. And why they chose me, I don't know. This is the issue. He was going to medical school, and I think he was entering some kind of internship, residency. He was never going to be home at night. And she was doing what she was doing. She didn't want to have any children right away. She was afraid she's going to get married, and she'd be, her husband will be out at night, and the all-nighters, and she'd be alone. She just didn't feel emotionally ready to have children. So I gave him my spiel. And I said, I'm sorry, I can't give any hetem over here. Ideas died there. If a Kaddish Baruch Hu blesses you with a child, he will. If he won't, he won't. That's a Kaddish Baruch Hu's call. And he should be thankful for the blessings which are given to you. So I met him 15 years later, something like that. 12 years later at a yeshiva dinner. And they come out and said, do you remember me? I said, yeah, sure, I remember you. Remember my wife? Yeah. Remember once we come into the side. Remember we once came to the house in the Motzei Shabbos? I said, yeah. Remember we spoke about it? I said, yeah. We want to tell you what happened. So many years, more than a decade later, this is what happened. We came to the car, and my wife cried uncontrollably. Couldn't stop crying. Because she had agreed in advance to accept whatever I said, and she did not get the answer she wanted to hear. Uncontrollable crying. But, woman of a word, she agreed. Kaddish Baruch Hu blessed her. They pull out of their wallet a photo with five kids, and they want to say, Rabbi, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We didn't realize then what we realize now, what kind of tremendous bracha it is that we have our children, and my husband's a doctor, and this, and everything is fine and dandy. And if we wouldn't have listened to you, then who knows what would happen? You don't know what's going to happen. I have to tell you, that was not in the script, but someone spoke to me last week with a completely different take on this. Unbelievable. It really got me a little frightened. I'll share it with you. He said, if we're up to him, he make a takonas hakol, the couples get married, shouldn't have children for a year. Takonas hakol, says to me. Why? He says he sees so much divorce within the first year. So much divorce, such quick divorce. And then if the kids get so complicated. So I said to him, I can't accept this. I quoted the Akedah on last week's parsha. The Akedah, and I'm not an expert in Akedah, Akedah Yitzchak, I know that from Rav Avadya, quotes him time and time again. Time as many times. The Akedah is the following unbelievable story. There was a situation, I think this goes back hundreds of years, hundreds and hundreds of years, where they had men, Jewish men, who were nominally frum, there was no conservative reform then, they were unaffiliated, everyone was quote-unquote frum, in quotes, who couldn't control the Yetzer Hara. So they were involved in Znus, and they were involved in Znus with Shiksus. The Vavnus with words with Eishes Ish, the worst. So someone suggested, hey, this is terrible. Let's make a Takonas HaKol. What Takonas HaKol? We'll provide for them Jewish women, single Jewish women. We'll provide for them single Jewish women. And these people who can't control the Yetzer Hara shouldn't have to be involved with Shiksus or with Eishes Ish. So the Akedah writes back like this. If a person sins, it's Chatas HaYochid, the Yeonish, Keroilo, and that's all. That's just a private sin. But we should make a Takonas HaKol to provide these kind of women, they'll say, Chachamim Yitivos Adomer, Chas V'Shalom Zayakivos Kol HaTorah. Let many people be Nifshel and Eishes Ish Chas V'Shalom, and with Shiksus Chas V'Shalom. On their own! Even better than that should happen, then we should take uproot one letter from the Torah and make some kind of a takonas hakol that should be to minimize the aver. Powerful words. Rav Avadya quotes it all the time. I said, same thing over here, the Nias Daiti. True, there are cases where there are reasons where it would be much better if they would have waited a year and see if their marriage works. If it doesn't work, it should get out quick. Mask it. But to make a takonas akol, say we should do this, we should institute, we should even allow it, chalila. But what I begin to find out is that many of these cases, a new one came to my desk yesterday, are because it's not full disclosure. It's not full disclosure. People hide things from their prospective spouses. Major things. Major things. Such as depression. I'm not kidding around. So that's the case now. I said, what happened over here? They just got married now. I already got divorced. What happened? Well, the guy's depressed. So calls by they were going out, he hit it, he was taking pills, whatever it is, and this and that. You can't hide things. I think it's immoral to hide such things from a chosn or a kala. How can you hide it? I'll be alochem. Is it a kedusha toast? Spoke about that last year a little bit. I don't know. If you look in the svarim, it's a swipe after Yavamis. Something that people would normally not go out of us. Say, oh, but here, look. Anyway, I'm getting further and further away from what I want to talk about. And my time is gradually starting to run out. So I want to talk about another important midah, which I believe underscores the midah of chesed and is intimately related to the midah of chesed, and which therefore must be a prerequisite anyone looking for a shidduch as well. And this is sort of a little beneath the surface. And my source for this is the Kli Yoker on this week's Pasha. World famous Kli Yoker. Well, not so famous, but I try to make it famous as I can. Those of you in the Shia already heard it many years. This is a must Kli Yoker. Everyone knows Kli Yoker. The Kli Yoker explains in his whole understanding of this Pasha as a very important midah which Eliezer Eved Avraham is looking for. But really, before we, I have one more thing to tell you about, before we go into this, which is that Eliezer Eved Avraham, before he did anything, before he started, how do you say it? Before he started the shidduch process, that would apply to everyone in this room who was still in that category. Before he started the process of finding the right shidduch, what did he do? Before anything else, what did he do? He davened to Hashem. I mean, the first thing, before anything in the world that happens, he hasn't gone anywhere, he's about to go into town, he davens. This is critical. A person gets starting to think about Shidduchim, the first thing to do is to daven. Says in Gemara, Al Kain Yispalo Kol Chosid Le'es Mitzo. So Chazal Dash, among other drushes, Leis Mitzo Zu Isha. He says, Mosa Isha Mosa Tov. A person should daven. I remember when I became engaged a number of years ago, so I got a compliment about my kala. What was the compliment I got about my kala? They didn't say she was beautiful, they didn't say she was... The compliment was a general compliment. They said about me, and her good gedavent. That means I davened well because I had such a wonderful kala. So that means that they were presuming, I must tell you it was true in my case, that before I got involved, I was davening. I said, a person should daven. It's such an important decision. I always say the most important single decision in a person's life is who to marry. The most important single decision in a person's life. So it's a tough call. Someone suggests, you know, people are blessed. The kala just comes right, just walks right in, you know, right there. Other people go through all kinds of trials and tribulations, ups and downs and arounds. You should respond to Kodesh Baruch Hu for success. What is the lashon of the first tefillah, the first of Yud Beis? Hakrein olafonai hayom. What do you mean, hakrein olafonai hayom? It says the Kli Yoker as follows. Sheyazmelo Hashem nara chashuva shein dar galotis klal. In the world today, there are many women who are yatzanios. I mean, they're just out there. They're running around. They're so forward. They're so forward, especially in the feministic world that we live in. They're so forward. They just, so much so that I saw, I think, in U.S. News yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, the day before, that a quote from Jesse Helms. You know who Jesse Helms is? Senator from North Carolina, if I'm not mistaken. Right? So he's from the old-time religion. He's one of the only old-timers left. So they said that some there was some kind of a congressional hearing, and some woman, congresswoman, interrupted it. So he told her, like, you can't say this anymore. Said, excuse me, act like a lady. Sit there and don't be heard. Only a southern senator can get away with that today. They were just the storm of that he said it. Okay. But the truth is that we go back to Rashi, the very beginning of the Chumash. Very, very beginning of Chumash. This is a Rashi which is not describing a pasuk given to Klal Yisrael only. But this is a pasuk given to all of humankind. To all of humankind. And the initial commandment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is Mamash, the first parak of a Chumash. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Pru Ruvu, Hu Milu Es Aretz V'chiv Shuha. So Rashi says, L'landacha Shazacha Kovash Es Anakeva, Shalo Teheyatz Anis. Here we go. Jesse Helms has some measure of truth to what he said. That, you know, a woman should be Kol Kvuda Bas Melech Penima. Pnima is the opposite of chutz. So yotzi yetzem lachutz. You have the woman that should be an ishet tznua. Now tznius is not something that's limited to women. Tznius applies to men and all of our conduct. Tznei lechas and malokecha applies to all human beings. There's an extra measure of tznius for women, which is evidenced by the Rashi, the Perek Aleph and Bereishis, given to all of humankind, not only to Klal Yisrael. And therefore, here this woman wasn't really Jewish, but she has to have the meat of tznius in order to qualify. Now, I've often said, and this is my quip about Helms, that the definition of tznius changes from place to place. Maskin. That what's preaches in one place is tznius in another place. There's a discussion of whether women are to speak in public. So in certain circles, they can never speak in public. In some circles, they can sometimes. Some say, always speak in public. It depends on your circle, whether it's considered tznius or preaches. But one thing is clear, that there is an extra measure of tznius for women more than men. Sure, the circumstances changes. The Rambam, the liberal, rational Rambam writes that a woman, she gets married, the husband shouldn't be so strict with her to make sure she stays home all the time. It's okay if she leaves the house once a month. And the Gemara has in Brachas. I don't recommend that when you go on your first date, you say that, you know, I'll see you in a month because you can't come out until then. Or I have to have the old living room date because you can't leave the house until another month. I'm not saying that, please. My point is, it's a carrot. The Gemara has in the Sechta Brachas that a person is not allowed to walk behind a woman. Rather, walk behind a lion, which is dangerous, can turn around and eat you up, than walk behind a woman. Achare Arib lo Achare Isha. So there's a tshuva by Rabbi Shlomo Zalman and Mincha Shlomo to Rabbi Waldenberg, Tzitz Eliezer. He says to him, I don't know what to do. I walk in the Shuk Yerushalayim, Rabbi Tzitz Eliezer lives right behind Machli Yud HaShuk. Shalita, he lives behind Machli Yud HaShuk. He walked once, he can't, women all over the place. How can I go in the street? So Rabbi Shlomo Zalman writes, no, okay, you know, you can't help it nowadays. If things are different than they used to be. Bechule. That means things are obviously changing, but the principle of tznius, especially for a woman more than a man, that remains. On whatever level it may be. The Kli Yoka continues. Look at this amazing shot. V'kach nema b'torah, v'ish lo yida'o. No man knew who she was. Because the Kaddish Baruch Hu listened to Yavram and Toliaz's prayer, and this woman, Rivka, who came out to the well, was not one of those women who to hang out at the well. The well was a candy store. They hang out in the stoop. You know, she was never seen before. No one knew who she was. All the loose women would hang up by the well, and they would, he doesn't want any part of them. He wanted a mikre. She came for the first time. That was the truth. Shalohaya Shemada Makira, Kilo Yatas Mealam Kima Pamze, Valkane, Hutzrach, Lishal Espia, Basmiat, Veloma Lo Shaw, Lishar Nara Shayu Shama. Isn't that nicer? I mean, come on. You see a girl, you know, yes, who are you? That's, everyone knows that that's not the way to go. You see a girl, you ask someone, who is she? That's the more respectful way, but a common way to do it. Now everyone knows. I'll tell you something. Everyone knows that in this room. That is, somebody come at 8:30 to Lincoln Square. There's some young lady there. You're not going to see the sheker and the chen, the sheker and the hevel. You'll see, like Boaz said, you know, he wanted to know who was the Mia Narazos. He wanted to know because she was sneistic and she used to bend down when she was collecting the like a shikapay over there. So you'll see a woman in there who's very snua, not forward and not this. You'll ask, okay, who are you? That's not why I ask. He asked someone else, but who is she? So they asked him, knew the Emily Post etiquette, you know. He asked everyone around, who does she know? And knew the answer. Ish lo yado. So he had no choice but to ask about Smiat. As the Kliyaka says, no one knew who she was. That was what he was asking for. This incredible coincidence of the woman who was via Mikre. She said, not one of the women who was always going out, running out here and there and everywhere. A gadabout, as is often translated. He wanted the woman who was Hakev, a Pnima. But this by she's a Pnima, he'll never find her. So it should be a Mikre. It should be a coincidence. That should transpire. This is what Eliezer prayed for. This is what actually happened. And indeed, what did he place upon her? So Rashi quotes, on the Pasuk Chavez, took Nezim Zohar Beka Mishkolo Shnei Tzmidim, the Rebbe to the Shiklei Yisrael, and the Shnei Luchos. What does that mean? What's the connection? What's the symbolism? So the Kliyaka explains. What does it mean? What it means is that the first Luchos was destroyed because Shalta Ben Ayin Hara. Because Nitnu Pumbi Bekole Kolos. And they gave an Ayin Hara to the Luchos. Chasra Mida Keneged Mida Ayin Hara. So the Shkolim is Megan Bad Ayin Hara. We know that. They didn't count people, they counted coins. And if David HaMelech made a mistake and counted the people, there was a Magefa. Right? That the Shkolim and Emir Rebbe is against Ayin Hara. And the Luchos against Ayin Hara. That means you want someone who's not playing such a public role. You want to try to be hidden. You try to be hidden. That's the whole idea of the remez of the shkolim of the luchos, which are given ultimately b'tznius. So what's the connection between chesed and tznius? Seem to be two completely unrelated matters that we're looking for. The pshuto shemikra is looking for chesed, and we're adding based upon the kliyaka that he's looking for tznius. Are the two related to one another? So the answer is yes. How do I know? Here's the answer. We have two expressions in the Hebrew language which are similar, but mean at first glance two totally, completely different things. What are they? Ayin Ra and Ayin Hara. Everyone knows what Ayin Hara is. Oh, you believe Ayin Hara? Kenein Hara. You know, let's put on a red ribbon up, so I don't know what that means there. It shouldn't be an Ayin Hara. The Gemara from Avash that bays what that means. That if you have a field, that I can insist that there should be a fence, so that you shouldn't be able to see how successful my crops are. Because if you can see how successful my crops are, I can suffer my ayin hara. What does it mean ayin hara? So we know what ayin hara means. Personally, say that Hashem is Baruch. Why should this guy be so successful? Why should his crops grow so well and mine not? What does he deserve more than me? And somehow, this can be effective, and he'll be cut down to size. So whatever success we have, we try to hide it. We try to hide our success. B'li ayin hara, my basa mecha, ain't a bracha shalom b'dava samim in a ayin. Hide it, don't flaunt it, don't be ostentatious. The kliyaka is the same kliyaka in a different context. I'll mention now in passing. Penu lachem tzafona. Look at that kliyaka in the very beginning of Sefer Dvar, Parshas Dvar. Penu lachem tzafona. She explains tzafona means lachem tzafon, hidden. There's the problem with Klal Yisrael that they try to flaunt their wealth and it causes anti-Semitism. And the goyim try to hate it. That's what Rav. It's Atas Azakin of Yaakov Avinu. Labat Yisra'u. Why should you show yourselves as being wealthy when the whole world is suffering from famine? That's caused all the anti-Semitism and all the problems to Kliyaka. It's because we're flaunting our wealth. And I add, forget anti-Semitism. It's also true. True to this day is true. The people showing their wealth to Jews, it's terrible. Even within Klal Yisra'u, even within ourselves, the lack of sneers, it's terrible. What's Ayin Ra? What's Ayin Ra? We know. Everyone knows. Not every little Elamitzias are in use. But there's Ayin Ra, and Ayin Beinus, and Ayin Yochel. Right? What does that mean? That means that stinginess is Ayin Ra, and generosity is Ayin Yochel. Oh. So Now, so ayin hara means a public posture which can lead to, you know, we call an evil eye. And ayin hara means stingy. What's the connection? Here's the connection. If I am a stingy person, you know why I'm stingy? Because I want that I should be successful and not the other guy. I want to show how great I am, how low you are. If I'm of the opinion that my success should not be public, that no one should even know about it, I should try to keep things very, very quiet, that no one should know that I'm more successful than the next guy, that kind of an individual will be more likely to be generous. People who are stingy primarily because they want to show I'm up and you're down. That's exactly the connection to the two concepts of I and Hara. You know, I'm going out there to show how rich I am. I'm subjecting myself to an I and Hara. And I and Ra, I'm stingy because if I make you rich, then what does it mean I'm rich? You're also rich. If I'm rich, it doesn't mean anything. I have to be distinctively rich. That's the case for most. These two are connected. And the negative, so what's the opposite? What's the opposite of I and Ra and the opposite of I and Hara? The opposite of I and Ra is I and Yafa, which is Chesed. The opposite of I and Hara, we saw before, is Tzniyus. So Chesed and Tzniyus, as you can tell, are the opposite, respectively, of Ayin Ra and Ayin Hara, indicates that these two are in fact related. And that's what the Kli Yaakov explains, Chazal of an expression, Kala she'eineha yafos, eina tzricha bedika. That means she has gorgeous blue eyes. She needs the biggest bedika. So watch out, Chas v'Shalom, these beautiful women, they shouldn't, Chas v'Shalom, their looks shouldn't cause them to do things which are wrong. But it means Kala she'eineha yafos, eina tzricha bedika, Kala who was an Ayin Yafa. That means she's Isha Tsenua, Isha Balas Chesed, and it's Richa Bedika. You don't have to worry about the rest of the midas. You can't check for every single midah. You check for these things, these two related midas related to each other. What are they? Chesed and Tsenius. And Tsenius is also a prerequisite for the marriage relationship. Marriage is a very private relationship. What's between Ishli Ishto is absolutely and totally private. It's not like in the world outside. In the Goyish world, I don't know why you... And I, you know, you try to stay out of the Goyish world. I started so hard. But you know, you remember, and I was walking to a store. I went to buy something, a plain store. And you had two Goyim talking to each other. Mamish. You know, it's he's talking to this guy. This. I said to myself, what is going on over here? Wasn't that crazy? What is crazy? He's telling, crazy! The sugar. Our marriages are based upon chesed and based upon tznius. Absolute tznius. For example, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Nida that a woman goes to the mikveh has to be tzanua. No one's supposed to know when she's going to the mikveh. But chlal, it's not right people should know when she's a nida, when she's not. What people's business? They know the bein ah. It's a secret. And we can extend this beyond the physical part of the marriage. Even the general marriage. There's intimate things between husband and wife and how they relate to each other and how they talk to each other. Not that you go telling them to the world, you know, I told my husband this and I told my wife this and it is this. You know, I mean, if it's just drama from Mabakak, that's fine. But if it's really private matters, it should remain absolutely secret. This is what I start talking about, Mr. Shem, next week. We talk about how to maintain a marriage. Until now we spoke a little bit about how to find the right shidduch. But as we know, as hard as it is to find the shidduch, you know, that's done is done. But the lifelong challenge is how to, not just to get married, but how to stay married. The lifelong challenge is not the wedding, it's the marriage, and to see how to work on the marriage. I'll just end with this last akuda. This is Rashi in last week's parsha. Rashi says that the Malachim asked Avraham, where's Sarah? I ate Sarah Shtecha, he named Boaz. So Rashi quotes in the Bamba Matiyah. They were Malachim. That asked where she is. So they knew where she was. So why are they asking her where she was? So the Gemara in the Bamba Matiyah, I think, Pezayin. Kedei lechavavo al bayro. Avraham should be able to say, Bepem Mole, where she is, she's all Tznui, and she's considered a Mila, and they're going to now see, he's going to see how wonderful Sarah is. I asked the question. It's a bulbous question. These are not newlyweds. These are not yuppies. This is Avraham Avinu, who's now 99 years old, and Sarah is 89 years old. They've been married for decades. He says, yeah. You see from here, no matter how old you are and how long you're married, there's still an inyan to improve the marriage. To make the marriage better. You have these seminars, weekends, to improve your marriage. And they want to be married. I'm happily married. No, they're right. In principle, I'm not saying they're doing the right thing. But in principle, they're right. That a marriage, no matter how good it is, can always be improved. You see it from the Malachim of Rav Avinu. I give everyone this shir, a bracha. You should be successful in your marriages. Those who are already married or getting married, imminently should be successful. Those who are in the looking stage should be successful. Those who haven't started looking yet should be, when they start looking, be successful. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless us all with wonderful homes. Everyone here should be zochet to build a bayis in Yisrael. Mitzvah Sunday at 9:30 will be the Bechina, and Monday 9:30 is here. Okay? 9:30.